Nice to have you with us here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Larry Mueller here. Today we begin our program by taking a look at a new book that's just out. It's called Wisconsin Gardens and Landscapes. It's a Trails Books Guide, and the author is Mary Lou Santovic, who is from Jefferson, Wisconsin. She's a writer and editor, and her latest book she did with her husband, Rick, is published by Trails Books, as I said. And I tell you what, it's beautiful color illustrations of more than 100 public gardens and landscapes and nature preserves and nurseries. And it's the kind of guide, and actually it's done in a size that fits nicely in a car and you can take with you. And I hope you'll join in with your questions and comments. Maybe you've got a favorite garden or a nature preserve or a nursery that you think ought to be included in the book. She's probably going to do another one. Who knows? And she's got a lot in this book that I think you're going to enjoy hearing about. But give us a call with your own comments at 1-800-642-1234 in Madison at 263-1890. And email us at talk@wpr.org. Mary Lou Santovic, welcome. Nice to have you with us.
Thank you, Larry. It's nice to be here.
Tell you what, this must have been a lot of fun to put together.
Oh, 20,000 miles, 18 months, and about 400 or so sites. I lost count after the second summer.
After the second summer. Well, what possessed you to put it together in the first place?
Well, actually, I owe a debt of gratitude to a woman by the name of Mary Alice Kane, who suggested the title to Trails Books. And unfortunately, she passed away. And so they were looking at producing this book and asked a number of us to submit clips and such. And I guess my background fit what they needed at that point.
Well, in your travels, you was how many? Over 300 gardens?
At least. I stopped counting the church gardens, the bed and breakfast gardens, the school gardens, because I just couldn't catalog them. And I also had started cataloging rain gardens and prairie gardens. And Wisconsin is just full of these. And so I have this working list that I had thought would be a final list, but I just keep adding to it.
How did you decide what to include and what not to include?
Well, Larry, the first 5 or 10 were pretty easy to come up with. They're the best known throughout the state and the ones that immediately come to mind, and those are Berner in Milwaukee, Olbrich in Madison, Green Bay Botanical, of course, in Green Bay, Rotary Gardens in Janesville and the Mitchell Park Horticultural Conservatory, also known as the Domes, in Milwaukee. But then you start looking at what else is around the state, and you come up with Villa Terrace, which was just redone several years ago. The Payne Art Center, which, although it focuses on art, it's got a phenomenal set of gardens connected with the home. West of the Lake, which was a real find. The Village of Kohler, which the entire village is a botanical garden. And Longenecker Horticultural Gardens at the UW Arboretum. You know, you've got 10, and your editor is saying 125. Well, where are the other 115 going to come from? So I built a list of potential sites using my knowledge of the state. I'm way back in my career, I was a college admissions officer for several colleges here in Wisconsin and traveled the state extensively. So I was fortunate that I had that kind of knowledge, right? And then the web is such a wonderful resource. And you know all those travel guides that you stop and at the rest areas and pick up? Well, I had boxes and boxes and boxes of those, and would go through them looking for leads. And then, of course, I contacted the Master Gardeners groups in all of the communities, garden clubs, and and then the list really blossomed, so to speak, when I found the American Public Garden Association's criteria for what constitutes a public garden. And APGA defines a public garden you know, yes, you've got the botanical gardens, but you also have display gardens, therapeutic gardens, nature centers, sculpture gardens, arboreta, parks, college campuses, zoos, cemeteries, and historic landscapes. So, as I said, what I thought would be a final list was just a working draft. And then during my travels, I'd pick up newspapers and brochures and any local magazines and go through them for clues.
So it's a pretty pretty thorough search from the sound of it, Mary Lou, I can tell you that. You mentioned West of the Lake as a real find. What right. What is it about West of the Lake? Where now, where is it?
West of the Lake is in Manitowoc, and it is now a public garden, but it was at one point in time the home of Ruth and John West. John was the CEO of the Manitowoc Company, and the story goes that they didn't have any children, so Ruth kind of fell in love with gardening. And she turned what was a couple of acres of thistles and bad soil into a real show place. And all the gardens are very formal. They have paid gardeners on staff plus summer help. So the lawn is, as I said in the book, manicured to within an inch of its life. Mm-hmm. But her favorite colors, I think, if I recall correctly, are pink and blue, and a lot of the blossoms every year are pink and blue. Mm. And there's a sunken garden, and there's a May West garden with some hot colors. There's a rock garden. And she did a lot of this by hand with the help of a gardener, and the story goes that she would be wearing an old mink coat and go out into the back and see a weed and turn the coat inside out and kneel on it and use it as sort of a garden pad for her knees.
Oh, and some of the stories in that, a little bit of the background you have in each of these descriptions of the places.
That's what helped me make some of my selections for the book, because when I was trying to get a balance between the categories, the APGA categories, I would have several zoos, for example, or several historic homes. And when you have gardens that are similar in quality, which one do you choose? You choose the one that has the story behind it, because I want people to know a little bit of, sure, about the history of the garden or the site or the development of the entire location.
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense. Well, let's take some calls. If you'd like to join in, maybe a question about a garden in your area, a preserve or a nursery, give us a call at 1-800-642-1234. Ruth in Ladysmith is up. Hi, Ruth.
Hi.
Hi.
I'm glad to hear about this guide because I'm always on the lookout for gardens. What is the title exactly?
It's called Wisconsin Gardens and Landscapes.
Gardens and Landscapes. Okay. Mm-hmm.
And it's a trails book guide.
Trail book guide.
Trails books, yeah.
Published by Trails Books, yes.
Okay. I also wanted to mention that when we go on vacation, I like to center my vacations around gardens as we travel. And there's I don't know if you know of the guide, the Directory of Public Gardens from the National Home Gardening Club.
I'm somewhat familiar with that, but I don't have access to it at this point.
I think people not in the club can order it, but I'm not sure. But it's really nice. It's for the whole country and Canada, I believe. There's a phone number that people could call if they wanted to find out about it.
Okay.
It's 800-324-8454.
Mm-hmm. 8454. Okay. And that's the National Home Gardening Association.
I think that's the name of it. Let's see. Club. Or gardeningclub.com.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and I think to members it's free, but I think you can also buy it for something like $9.95.
Mm-hmm. Well, I tell you what, you're going to enjoy this book, Ruth.
Yes. Okay, thanks.
Yeah, thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate it. You can join in, too, at 1-800-642-1234 or in Madison at 263-1890. You know, as I look through the book, one of the things I noticed, I zeroed in on the area of the state where I live, just because I've seen a lot of the garden. All of the gardens you mentioned in the beginning, I'd seen the first ones. But what surprised me was when I looked through just the area around Madison and, you know, a short drive, with an hour's drive of Madison, how many I had not seen. Oh, my goodness, there are a lot.
And that doesn't include, Larry, the ones that didn't make the book. There's a very neat one at the Spring Green Public Library, for example, that, you know, this book, it's over 200 pages long, and it probably could have been 500 pages if the publisher had let me, you know, put in everything I found.
And you do have an appendices in the back.
Yes.
And that gives some other additional information.
Mm-hmm. And I'm building a website, too, because one of the things that I had worked on that did not make the book, unfortunately, was a list of 800 or so garden centers, greenhouses, and nurseries around the state. And it was the list, the name, the address, and contact information, as well as what groups of plants they sold, for example, annuals, perennials, tree shrubs, evergreens, tropicals. So that did not make the book, but I do have that information and am putting it up on a website that I'm building, and it's just getting started. Ideally, the website will support the book, and I can put more things on the website that aren't in the book.
Mm-hmm. But the appendix, so you've got arboretums, butterfly gardens, garden clubs, garden art, healing gardens, and that the healing garden kind of interested me quite a bit. And I hadn't realized, I guess I should have known, that there were healing gardens out there, but they're connected often with, obviously, with hospitals, are they not?
Very much so. Hospitals, nursing homes, rehab centers. What started that category for me was I found something called the Free Spirit Equine Center, outside of Fond du Lac. And they had this magnificent garden in the front of their building. And they are a equine therapy program for the disabled.
Uh-huh.
And they had built this garden, I guess, from the stories that I heard. Members of the Department of Corrections came out and actually formed the framework for the garden. And it's divided into sensory gardens. There's a touch garden and a smell garden and a sight garden and a food garden and such. And then all the hardscapes, the bird feeders and the decorations, are pretty much horse related. There's a cowboy boot, for example, filled with plants, and there are horseshoes all over, and the structures have horse related decorations.
Pretty cool, pretty cool. But Michael and Menasha will give you a chance now. Hi, Michael.
Sure, hi.
Hi, Michael.
I just want to be a booster for the nature preserves that we have in the area of the Fox Cities, such as Thousand Island and Bubalt, and up in the New London area, the Mosquito Hill, excellent places. But I have a question. Are there any topiary gardens in Wisconsin?
Topiary gardens. Not full topiary gardens. There are some topiaries up at the Chateau Winery in St. Croix Falls. There are topiaries being put together in a garden that's part of the 100 Miles of Gardens, which, again, did not make the book, unfortunately, due to space constraints. This is the Great River Road, Highway 35 in Alma. There is a business called Fire and Ice, and in the backyard of this business, the owners are making this wonderful European garden complete with topiaries.
Oh, beautiful.
And that is under construction, and hopefully will be almost finished this summer. Other than that, there are a few topiaries, I think, at Old Brick and Burner, but no real topiary gardens.
Fully topiary.
Fully, no, that I found.
Well, some is good enough. Thank you very
right.
much.
You're welcome.
Thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate it. Mary Lou Santovic, our guest today from Jefferson, Wisconsin. She's the author of Wisconsin Gardens and Landscapes. It's published by Trails Books. I'm Larry Mueller. Jim Packard, our producer, if you want to join in, give us a call at 1-800-642-1234. In the Madison area at 263-1890. Maybe you've got a favorite you want to ask about, or maybe you've got a question about some in your area of the world. Michael had a question there about topiaries. You may have one too. Give us a call. Here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Talking with Mary Lou Santovic about her book today, Wisconsin Gardens and Landscapes. She published it with, she's published by Trails Books. But she wrote it with her husband, Rick Santovic. So pleased to have her with us today. You can join in at 1-800-642-1234 in Madison at 263-1890 or email us at talk@wpr.org. And we had a caller just a couple seconds ago who wondered what is a topiary garden. And I should have asked that myself, so I'm glad our listeners are paying attention and helping me interview here.
Well, Larry, I thought of two more topiary gardens, and then I'll define it. There are wonderful topiaries at the Milwaukee County Zoo, and then there is one at Arborview Gardens in Clintonville, and that topiary is appropriate for all football fans. It's called the Green and Gold Garden, and in the middle, and this is what a my definition of a topiary. You can either trim a set of evergreens into a shape like, for example, Flying Pig in Algoma has some interesting topiaries of a pig and an eye and the words believe. And maybe I'm wrong here, but we'll define a topiary as taking a wire frame and then having vines grow up a climbing plant, whether it's vegetable or floral, have the climbing plant use the frame as a support and then cover it. So there are a couple of other suggestions and my pretty broad definition of a topiary.
Okay. Well, as I looked through your book and I thought, well, I'm looking through some interesting names here, and one of the names that I found quite interesting was Al's Auto Body and Arboretum. Now, I thought, how do you get an auto body and an arboretum in the same place? But I had to look that up right away.
So did I, Larry. So did I. Al Ritchie owns an auto body shop down outside of Delavan in the town of Walworth. And in his back 40, actually, it's several acres, he has got a wide range of mature trees. And he has planted, he's a real hosta nut in the good sense. And he has planted various varieties of hostas, including a rarer one called the Ice Age Trail or Ice Age Hosta. And mixed in with those hostas are other perennials such as rhododendrons. And he is reclaiming his yard for hopefully for preservation. And yes, when I saw that name, I knew I had to go down and visit.
I would think so. And you've got a nice photograph in there of it as well. Did you do the photography for your book?
Because
there's beautiful photography in
Thank
there.
You very much. No, my husband shot some of the photos. And then when, because we were traveling at times when gardens were not in peak, I would go back to places and ask for photos. But there is somebody I really want to credit, and that is Ed Lyon, who is the director of Rotary Gardens in Janesville.
Yeah.
He provided me with some exquisite photos. He does this as a hobby. He goes to public gardens and shoots photographs of them. And then also Sharon Seibert at Olbrich Botanical Gardens provided me with some photos, including the cover photo.
So you really have some nice photos. And just so that people know, for each area or for each garden or what have you, What is all included in the book?
Well, first of all, a description of the garden, although many times I had to rely on just the hardscapes rather than the floral composition because of the time that we were traveling. But any stories about the garden that I had discovered, and then contact information that includes everything from the address and phone number, website, email address, to a set of directions to if there are specific hours that the garden is open, if there is a cost to tour the garden, and in some cases there is a cost, and anything interesting about the garden.
Well, it's pretty cool, and some of the sometimes they're free, and sometimes there's a very minimal cost. I always one that you mentioned at Olbrich Gardens, the dome there. I often tell my students, if you want a cheap date and a cool place to go, a warm place to go on a date, you can go to the garden, the Olbrich Botanical Garden, and spend a lot of time within its dome. Is that the correct word?
Conservatory,
and it's $1.
It's $1, unless
one
you want to contribute more. And it's a beautiful place, especially in this long winter that we've had. I was there a couple of times to kind of get the spring in my blood here. They have a beautiful collection of orchids, palm trees, of course, and if I remember correctly, they're trying to grow a Titan arum, which is also commonly known as the corpse plant for its interesting, and I use that term loosely, smell when it blooms. The UW University of Wisconsin greenhouse has got three of them, and I guess I've never been there when they have bloomed, but it is...
it's a terrible smell.
It says rotting meat, I guess, is the way it's described.
So that's another part. I suppose it's tough to have a favorite spot.
Larry, it's like asking a parent which one of your kids is your favorite. There are so many that I like for so many different reasons. I tend towards the eclectic and the whimsical, so I think the Flying Pig Gallery and Green Space in Algoma is a favorite. Rihanna's Garden, a private garden by appointment only in Beldenville, which is outside of Hudson. She's an artist who makes mosaic concrete sculptures, and she has built gardens around them. I also love Foxfire in Marshfield. Stephen and Linda Schulte have turned a former 15-acre DNR reforestation effort into a glorious set of Asian gardens. They've also had their hand in the gardens at the Upham Mansion in Marshfield and the Woodland Park Zoo in Marshfield. You can tell the Schulte's design style when you see those other two gardens. But then I also like the Garden Door, which is on the grounds of the Peninsula Agricultural Research Station. The UW has 12 now, there used to be 13 ag research stations around the state that test do trials on plants and in some cases animals. And outside of Sturgeon Bay is the Peninsula Agricultural Research Station, and in the back of it is the Garden Door, which is the demonstration gardens for the Door County Master Gardeners, and they have done just a phenomenal job in design. And last year, many of their plant selections were in the blue family, and they have a sound structure, which is this huge, almost beehive-shaped metal structure with a huge wind chime in the middle and a a water fountain on the floor of that structure. It is very neat. And one of the other things I liked about that is their bottle tree. They have got a metal frame, and they have used blue glass wine bottles on the frame, and it is sort of like a Dale, a cheap Dale Chihuly piece.
You know, I have not visited that. I'm going to have to visit.
There are four ag research stations out of the 12 that have gardens. The garden, or the Peninsular one in Sturgeon Bay, the Hancock one, known as the Smile Along the Highway, along I-39, is a very neat one. West Madison Agricultural Research Station outside of Verona. And then the fourth one is, believe it or not, the Spooner Ag Research Station, so just south of Superior. And they, at one point in time, were doing rose trials up there. And unfortunately, I guess out of the 120 or so, three rose bushes survived because of the weather. So then they decided to convert part of that then into a demonstration garden.
Wow. Mary Lou Santovic, our guest today, as we talk with her about public gardens, landscapes, nature preserves, and nurseries, all contained in her book, Wisconsin Gardens and Landscapes. If you'd like to join in, maybe you've got a question about a garden or landscape in your area, give us a call at 1-800-642-1234. Or if you're in the Madison area, reach us at 263-1890, 263-1890. You know, an earlier caller mentioned preserves, nature preserves, and we haven't mentioned preserves at all yet, and that's part of your book, too.
Right. There are, I think, a couple of hundred nature preserves, and we tried to stop at as many as possible. I have been at the Buboltz one and at Mosquito Hill, and both of them contain butterfly gardens. There's also one in La Crosse called the Hickson Nature Preserve, which has a butterfly garden, and there are so many others. Technically, that could be the topic of another book, just because there are so many of them.
So many. Susan in Waupaca is on board here, so let's go to Susan. Hi, Susan. Thanks for calling.
Hi, Susan.
Thank you. It's a very interesting topic. I'm curious to know if your book is available at bookstores or...
Yes, it will be. It's due out from the printer on April 12th, and I'm expecting it to be in all of the state's bookstores and many of the gift shops, because Trails Books does sell their books around the state.
Okay, and so Barnes & Noble or any of the local bookstores, individually independent?
Yeah. Yes.
Okay, thank you very much.
You're all welcome.
Right. Thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate your calls. I want to go back to the therapeutic gardens and the healing gardens. That intrigued me a little bit.
Yes, there are many research studies coming out that shows the benefit of natural areas in healing, both physical healing, spiritual healing, and emotional healing. And many of the hospitals in the state are starting to take note of that. It's interesting that the hospital gardens are found pretty much at the smaller or the middle-sized hospitals. Hmm. Many of the big hospitals haven't developed them yet. One of the really neat ones is in Wisconsin Rapids. It's at the Marshfield Clinic's Wisconsin Rapids location, and that's the Pink Ribbon Garden. Mm. And it was developed by a woman by the name of Jackie Pickett, who is a breast cancer survivor. And she thought that while she was undergoing treatment that she should have something nice to look at, because she's also a master gardener. And so the pathway through the garden is in the shape of a pink ribbon, and it is dyed pink concrete. And then all of the flowers are in the more soothing tones of the pinks and the blues. The electric colors of yellows and reds and oranges are not in this garden. And so it is a place to meditate, a place to sit and just be with nature. And the paths are wide enough so wheelchairs are able to get through. Some of the others that I have a list of healing gardens in the book, There's one in Baraboo at St. Clair's Hospital with a very nice labyrinth connected with it. St. Clair's in Weston, outside of Wausau, tends to be a more of an Asian type of garden. And the one that didn't make the book because of space constraints was in Oshkosh. Actually, there are two of them there. There's the Aurora Health Center and the Mercy Medical Center, and they're on opposite ends of the town, and they're very different garden spaces. Mercy is more contemporary, and as I understand it, it was built on the site of a prairie, so they have reclaimed some of the prairie plants there, whereas Aurora is much more Asian-inspired different garden spaces. There's a little meditation shed there. There's a water feature. Mercy has got a beautiful bronze sculpture I hate to use the term formal and informal because the spaces tend to me, a formal garden is found at the Warren Taylor Flower Gardens in Kenosha, where everything is sort of lined up in rows and a very distinct pattern to it.
Yeah. And a labyrinth?
Labyrinths. What turned me on to that was the Labyrinth Garden Earth Sculpture in Regner Park in West Bend. And basically, that is a seven-circuit Cretan labyrinth that you can walk. And unlike many labyrinths that are outlined by rocks and stones or pavers, this is outlined by plants. There's annuals and perennials and bulbs, and there are sections marked off with cantaloupe-sized boulders that kind of mark where the volunteers can weed and flower, water the plants. But you can actually walk this labyrinth. The path itself is grass, and the frame is flowers.
Wow. Well, you're making me want to get out around the state. And, of course, the best time to visit all these places is probably between what, about
June and August. And to try and squeeze in that many sites was quite a challenge.
Oh, I've got to believe that. And you mentioned some businesses too that are also, the Flower Factory comes to mind in Stoughton is an example of a place where you can go and buy flowers.
Absolutely. There are 800 or so garden centers, greenhouses, and nurseries around the state. Some of them just sell plants. Others have display gardens or demonstration gardens, the Flower Factory being one of them. In fact, the Flower Factory is the only garden railroad set of demonstration gardens. I guess it was a midlife crisis that allowed or that resulted in these two garden railroads. There's also wonderful garden art at the Flower Factory, and they sell a lot of perennials. And right down the street from the Flower Factory is Stonewall Nursery. And that is a very, very cool place to get all of your conifers. They sell wonderful dwarf conifers and miniature conifers, as well as some of the larger sizes. So that Flower Factory is one that has display gardens. Two Fish Gallery, an art gallery in Elkhart Lake. The owners have turned their entire yard. There is not a blade of grass anywhere. And lots of little garden spaces around this art gallery. Monch's Farm in Colgate has got display gardens. Lensmeyer's Village Gardens in Stevens Point, their display gardens. One of them is used for weddings because there's a red gravel path leading to a white gazebo. Northwind Perennial Farm, Ray Diblick, he's one of three partners for Northwind. And Roy actually is the creator of the plant layout for Millennium Park in Chicago. But he has a philosophy called no maintenance, and that's K-N-O-W. And he has got gardens set out so that you know how much time it's going to take you to get a garden that looks the same way it does at Northwind Perennial Farms.
That's a great idea. I wonder if people, does he get people to follow up on it?
I think he does. And generally there are three or four display gardens that he has every year that outline the amount of time that it's going to take. And it's all perennials. And it's, you know, ahead of time how long it's going to take you to get such a lush looking 12 by 12, I think, spot of land.
Now, you said to Mary Lou that you were working on a website. Is it up and going?
No, it's not. But I will give you the name of it. It's my name, www.marylousantovic.com. And it isn't... I got a little behind here, and but hopefully it'll be up fairly soon.
And the book itself will be available...
After April 12th is the date that I've heard.
After April 12th. Well, it's a real pleasure to talk with you. You know a lot, obviously, about these gardens. And I tell you what, I'm going to keep the book in my car. And I'm going to take a look at when we're visiting and driving around the state. And frankly, I think we'll start right in good old Southwest Wisconsin.
Oh, very much so. Go over to Prairie du Chien and see the St. Furiel Island and the four gardens there. The St. Furiel Memorial Public Garden is up, well, started anyway. And if the fundraising is going well, they're going to have a garden there eventually that'll rival some of the more established ones.
Thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you, Larry.
Appreciate it very much. Mary Lou Santovic of Jefferson, Wisconsin. She has put together with her husband, Rick, a book titled Wisconsin Gardens and Landscapes. And as you listen to her, you know she knows a lot about gardens and landscapes, and she's got it all entailed in her book. Well, not all of it. Some of it entailed in her book, some of the best ones. And it's a fun book to look through and a fun book to have in your car to take along with you on trips. Wisconsin Gardens and Landscapes. Well, we're going to switch gears coming up next and talk with you about organ donations and organ transplants. That's coming up next here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.